blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 357, stanzas 1-4. And when Zion in her low estate was brought from bondage by the Lord, in ecstasy we sang for joy, by grace and wondrous love restored. 1-4 of 357.
Thank you. scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, beginning with the 22nd verse to and including the 5th verse of chapter 44. Isaiah 43 and 44, but first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah chapter 43, beginning with the 22nd verse. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproaches. Yet now hear, O Jacob my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee, and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob my servant, and thou Jeshurun whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring. And they shall grow up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Let us now read the form for the administration of baptism, which you can find on page 126 in the back of your Psalter. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This the dipping in or sprinkling with water teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us, that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son, The Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them, Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee, and that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, the one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition. That it may be then manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Father and Mother Arnoldusen? Father and Mother Brewech, Father and Mother Askam, Father and Mother Rulofsen, Father and Mother Van de Weche. Dear parents, we have just heard out of this portion, yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen. It says, yet. Yet. Why does it say yet? Yet here. The word yet is a conjunction, it is called. It is connecting two things together in comparison, comparing them. So there is something that is before this yet, and there is something that comes after it. Thus what is going before this word that is actually a rebuke. It is a rebuke to his own people. The Lord says, but thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. That is the rebuke of the Lord to his own people. It was, parents, a great shame. For all that the Lord had done for them, and then the Lord says, you return unto me no gratitude, but you make me only to serve with your sins. What should we expect next? You say, then there should be the word, therefore. Therefore, I will punish you. And then we shall hear afterwards the punishment. But we do not hear therefore. We hear the word yet. And then instead of the punishment that is following, then we hear that there is a blessing that is following. I'm sorry, mothers, if you like to sit, if you would rather sit, you may sit. But this, parents, is what baptism is now all about. It is all about this word, yet. That word yet is standing, we hear here, between two things that are contrasting to one another and that actually do not belong together. That is sin and the blessing of the Lord. Justice does not allow these two things to stand together. Because the Lord himself says of those who must carry out justice, he says that he that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, both of them are an abomination unto the Lord. And now what do we read? Now the Lord, even as he stands in that place of justice to make judgment, and he speaks about sin, and then he follows it with a blessing. You say, how can that be? Because God, he says how that can be. He says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. There you have, parents, the contents of the whole Bible. Contents of the whole Bible. That is now the contents of the gospel. It is the contents of the sacraments. That is the free and full, gracious pardoning of sin. That is without money and without price. Say, is not sin costly? Very. Very costly. Do you know what it costs? It costs blood, our blood. That is, the wages of sin, we read, is death. Do you ever feel that? How costly that sin is. Do you instruct your children in the cost of sin? And now in these moments you hope to approach onto a fount. It is a font of baptism, and in that font is water, and that in that water is a representation of blood, but it is not yours. It is not your child's, but there is a representation of the blood that has now been shed, in Gethsemane. It has been shed in Gabbatha, the judgment seat, has been shed upon Golgotha. That is the testimony. That is what now you hope to approach in these moments with your child, in order that that water, in representation of that blood, may now be placed, sprinkled upon the forehead of your child. Thus, this is what baptism is all about. Just that little word, yet. And how that it is possible for sin to be followed by a blessing that is only and alone through this blood. O parents, teach your children. Teach your children about this little word. It is just three letters. And they don't need to be so old, because it is just a short word. It's only one syllable. Then they do not need to learn so much in the school yet in order to understand it. or teach them this little conjunction. Teach them what comes before that word. Teach them what comes after that word. Teach them how it is possible that God himself will say concerning us and concerning them, yet 3,000 were baptized on that day of Pentecost. They were convicted of the most heinous crime, that is the crucifixion of the Son of God himself. And then afterwards, Peter says, he says, yet the Lord will give to you a blessing. Yet the Lord will shed upon you his Holy Spirit. And why? He says, be baptized. Because it is all through the application to your souls and the souls of your children of one drop of this blood. That is now the hope. That is now the expectation of that true church of God. And we hope it may be or become yours and also your children's. While the children are brought in, let us sing from Psalter 432, the fifth stanza. And afterwards, after baptism, we ask the congregation to stand and to sing Psalter 425, stanza 5. Psalter 432, Psalter 432, stanza 3. For God's royal might serves his truth and right. Justice he maintains, righteously he reigns, manifesting grace to his chosen race. Jacob's seed he'll never from his covenant sever. Hasten hence, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Jason, John, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Esme Marie, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Chad Tyson, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Hannah Elizabeth, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Matteo Hank, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins. Through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally and praise and magnify thee and thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Lead thou them in every way within this life, that may profit their souls, though against the flesh that lives within us day by day. Take away the desires of our carnal hearts, for all the things that we do seek after by nature, and give that thy Spirit may govern parents and children alike, yea, all of us together, who do travel together as a congregation upon this life's journey to meet thee. Remember the parents in all their needs and cares, in all that they will have to give an account for in that last day. Care for the grandparents. There are also great grandparents. They may be able to be here or not. O Lord, glad in their hearts this day. Wilt thou bless them also when their years do climb in the midst of this life? Look thou upon them as families. Oh, that thy Spirit may also bless them all together, and that they might see yet the good of thy chosen. Wilt thou remember us as a congregation? Look upon thy own people this day, O Lord, they might observe the sacrament given by thee, once again administered in the midst of our flock. O Lord, then it is time after time, then it is a looking to thee that thou mayst do for us and our children what we cannot do for ourselves. But then we may also in this day acknowledge thee, because thou hast made us so, so very glad. And when thou hast granted another man to be thrust forth, O Lord, that he may begin his studies in the theological school. O Lord, we cannot acknowledge thee right for all the benefits that thou dost bestow upon us. O Lord, thou dost bless us so undeservedly. Thou hast filled our mouth with laughter and our tongue with singing. Oh, that we may be given to end in thee, and that thou mayest give unto him a gracious measure of thy Holy Spirit, that he may be enabled in thy due time to go forth in the midst of the congregations. Remember the other student as well. Give them some blessed years and times together, and that they may be enabled to share in those things together which they will be called to do, and that thou may strengthen the teachers, especially him that must undergo treatments in the coming months. Lord, be on his right and on his left hand, and bless, Lord, all the efforts that are put forth for the sake of thy holy ministry. It is thy own institution. Ah, Lord, remember us then, as thou hast given us a little token of a blessing so undeserved. It is following all our sin, and in between is that little word yet. Oh, Lord, it is only and can be only
on the basis of the blood shed by thy dear and only begotten Son. Oh, where can we go in acknowledgement of thee, except to thee thyself, O Lord, bring it and put it in our hearts, by for the first time or by renewal, that our hearts may go out after thee, that we would not want any more to sin and to walk after this world, but that we may so love thee, and that thy goodness may lead us to a true repentance, and that we may receive a little hope for the children and the youth that do come. Ah, that it may be put also in their hearts this day, a little joy, a little acknowledgement of thee, our Lord, and a little cry, a little prayer also in their hearts, to say, Lord, I am also baptized. I have thy name upon my forehead. Ah, could it be that when I am under all the administration of thy word, that there may be a word left also for me, and that I may also be brought in unto that spiritual kingdom, and that I also may be given to receive of the blessings that thou dost bestow upon all thy people. O Lord, wilt thou bring it in their young hearts, do keep them from all iniquity and from sin, and give that tender fear of thy name while they are still young. Lord, care for us as a denomination, care for our own mission field, and wilt thou look upon all thy servants that do labor, Lord, also in the climbing of years, and when the trials do increase, that thou would strengthen and undergird, and give what is necessary to continue yet a little while, that we may bring thy word to the places where that thou hast called us and sent us unto. And oh, could it be that eternity may tell that there is yet a little fruit upon the labors of our hands, O Lord, that it may be the cry of young and old in the midst of us, and that thou may uphold us as we go through the Meshach of this world, and that we all together may forsake the world and every former friend, and that thy goodness may lead us to thy blessed footstool, and that we may say, O Lord, could it be yet? Oh, could it be yet? A little blessing for me also, even in this day out of thy heavenly store, Lord, pour it down. It was Pentecost. Ah, could it be, Lord, that there may be a little effusion of thy spirit in this afternoon hour, in the preaching, but especially in the hearing, for thou alone can bring it all together into our hearts. Ah, give that we may stand and speak as thou dost wilt have us so to do, and to say, and to bring, and that there may be a little hope in the hearts where it seems so hopeless. Lord, care for each and every one of those whom thou hast instructed and taught by the beginnings, and that there may be a little revealing, a little opening, a little light, a little ray of that sun of righteousness from heaven, through the darkness of the clouds that sometimes can so envelop thy own children. Lord, hear us, and take reasons out of thyself to remember us for a moment in this afternoon in thy mercy, under word and sacrament, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 407. Oh, praise ye the Lord.
And sing a new song amid all his saints, his praises prolong, and what follows in 407, all the saints.
Thank you.
Beloved congregation, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost was an event very similar to what we commemorate on the day of Christmas, only it concerns the third person of the Holy Trinity instead of the second person of that Holy Trinity. Thus, the commemoration of Christmas is a representation of the beginning of the fulfillment of the objective part of the redemption of the church. But on Pentecost, we commemorate the beginning of the subjective part. Is that not a wonder? Both of these have been prophesied of long ago for God's church, also of all ages, that was also promised. And that promise was working hope and expectation in the heart of his own children already many years ago. With the Lord's help, we wish to consider this out of the portion read to you from Isaiah chapter 44, the third verse, Isaiah 44, verse 3, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring." So far the words of our text. The promise of the Lord unto Jacob his servant. First, the address of this promise. And second, the substance of this promise. The promise of the Lord unto Jacob his servant. First, the address. And second, the substance of this promise. In our text, congregation, the Lord says, "I will." There's nothing conditional about that. That is not based on anything, and that is happening here, and that a man has to do or will do. No, it is only a declaration. It is a declaration of the mind and of the will of God, that eternal mind, that eternal wisdom, his eternal decree, and that which is sovereign. He says, "I will." And if the Lord says, "I will," then the Bible says, "And who shall let it? And who shall come against it?" It is the promise of the Lord. And that the Lord would make a promise is a very wonderful thing. Why? Well, in the first place, because he does not owe anything to anyone. So for him to make a promise to someone that is so completely out of his good pleasure. But there is a second thing, because the Lord is also faithful, because the Lord is not able to lie. That is what is within his own attributes, within his own character. Thus, with the Lord, we say a promise made is a promise kept. And there is with him no time. That means no before and no after. So the promise is actually with the Lord nothing different than the fulfillment of that promise. When the Lord will speak about something in the future, well, then a congregation is just as certain as if that thing was history. And now through faith, when it may be an exercise, also receives it as such, just as sure as history, that thing which still has to take place in the future. But now a promise already always has also an address. Do you concern yourself, congregation, with the address? With the address of the promise, because that is the mistake, a fatal mistake of millions of people in the world, that they never concern themselves with the address of the promise. Jacob was blessed, boys and girls. He was blessed by his father, Isaac, right? And now Esau, what did he know? Well, he knew very, very well that that promise that was given to Jacob. And the promise that was given to Jacob was not a promise that belonged unto him. No, that is right. And he knew that very, very well. It is very sad that he also really had no true desire for the thing that was promised unto Jacob. And so it was his own fault that he did miss that blessing. To whom does Isaiah here speak? What do we read? We read, "Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen." Thus, Isaiah has warned the tribe of Judah about their sin and also about what will follow sin, children. What follows sin? Well, there are consequences for sin, and that is what Isaiah did warn Judah about. And then he said those consequences, that captivity that is so sure that it is going to follow your sin, that he spoke very often just as if it had already happened. "Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary and have given Jacob to the curse and Israel to reproaches." Just like that was already done, what still had to happen in the future. "Yet, now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen." Thus, Isaiah speaks about whom that the Lord had chosen, the chosen people of Israel, that is, his elect, whom the Lord had separated from all the people that were in the world. And they were the people to whom this conjunction, this little word "yet," they were the people to whom this word "yet" belonged. That did not belong to anyone else. No, to everyone else the Lord was going to deal according to their sin, according to their iniquities, but not the people whom he had chosen. And this choosing was the very reason, this was the very basis that the Lord was not going to deal with his people according to their own sin. Thus the people had nothing to boast in themselves. They were no different than any other people that were upon the face of the earth. That separation that the Lord had made, that was on account only of himself. That was only his own good pleasure. That is now so of the true church. And that is not only so of the elect church, but that is even so of that church in the outward, in its outward administration already. We see that here today, so evident, so visible in the sacrament of holy baptism to the infants, because those children, they have no conception of what has just taken place in their life. What do you think, young people? You think that is important? Who of us can appreciate the fact that when we were, most of us, just a little child, that the Lord in his goodness, the Lord in his decree has brought us to be brought up and to be taught and to be instructed in his own holy word. Who of us can appreciate that we are brought with our children, we would say, into the very porch, into the very entrance of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle, as the Apostle Paul calls it. That we are brought into the outward house of the Lord, where is preached unto us, as Christ says, I am the door. So that we are brought, as it were, immediately before the door. When we are brought by birth and baptism into the church of God. It is a great sin, congregation, if we will despise our baptism and despise the porch into which the Lord has brought us in our youth, in our childhood. And think about it, young people. Think about it. You know what Paul says? Paul speaks about tasting, that the Lord is gracious. I'll ask you a question. You ever taste something? You ever taste something? You hear much? That is good. You think about it? That is better. You ever taste something? As a little child in the house of God. Or have you never tasted anything? Do you know what the apostle says? He speaks about those who have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Doesn't speak about great knowledge. Because if you will eat a meal and you say, well, I am hungry. And I have eaten, and I am full. No, we're not speaking about this. The Apostle Paul only uses the word to taste. And now he says, if a man has only, in other words, he has come so, so close. And brought into the porch, and he is brought immediately before the door, the entrance of that spiritual kingdom of God. And then he says, if he should fall away, it is impossible, he says, to bring him back again, to renew him unto repentance. You know what he says that a man does then? That he crucifies the Lord again, afresh. Crucifies him. That is what it is to despise the porch. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. Thus I have chosen. Again, we hear the same thing. Maybe you don't like to hear that. You say, when the minister speaks about election, that is something that makes me so depressed. But the Lord is repeating it. He says it again. And why does he say it again? Well, he says it again for just the opposite reason that you are saying, that you are thinking. He is saying it again for comfort, for comforting his own people. That is what he is doing here. He is comforting his church. And what is the comfort that the Lord is giving here unto his church? It lies, congregation, in election. In the electing love of God. Why? Because the Lord has just rebuked them. He has showed to them their iniquity, their sin. Did he ever do that to you? Were you ever rebuked? by the word. That is, when you have read that word, you read it too. And when you read it, well, we have so many times everything on our mind in the world, right? But did it ever become different? Did it ever become different? So that there was a little light, so that there was a little power, so that there was a word that was spoken. You say, it was spoken unto me. Did the Lord ever rebuke your heart through that word? And if the Lord has ever rebuked us, then what do we think? Well, we think then, yeah, what is coming? Well, then there is going to be a punishment because I am liable for the things that I do and what I am. But you know what the Lord says here? The Lord says, I will not. I will not. And why does he say, I will not? He says, because you are my chosen. So he says, actually, I cannot. I cannot. That is why you do not hear following, therefore, and then a judgment. Because you are my chosen. Because congregation of the Lord's faithfulness. It is because the Lord is in himself not able to go back on his own word. He cannot deny himself. He does not desire to deny himself. The church is so safe. The church is not able to sin itself out of that grace of God. Otherwise God would not be God. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb. David says, I was cast upon thee from the womb. He says, thou art my God. From, he says, my mother's belly, made thee and formed thee from the womb. Does Isaiah speak here about a natural birth? No. He speaks here about a spiritual birth. He says the Lord is the creator of the children of Israel as a nation. They are formed by him from the womb. And actually, then he is speaking about what we say is the prenatal period. That is, before that they were born as a nation, the Lord is already forming them. That was long ago, even in the time of the patriarchs of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when they were down in Egypt, and when they were suffering there in Egypt, then the Lord was working with his spirit. He was forming the children of Israel before that he brought them forth out of that womb. And now, young people, it is an awful thing if you sin against your mother, if you sin against your father. That is an awful thing. Be careful. Be very, very careful, because the Lord sees it, the Lord knows it, and the Lord punishes those sins. Be sure of that. But I would say there's one more thing that you should be sure of, and that is this. If you would come in true repentance to your mother, if you would come with a heart full of sorrow to your father and confess before them what you have done, then I can assure you also of something else. Then I can assure you that your mother or father, they are going to receive you. They are going to forgive you. Say, how do you know that? Well, because they are a mother. Because they are a father. And your mother has, she bore you. That was even in her womb. And then there were bonds that were laid in that womb already between the heart of your mother and you. And then it is not easy for you to sin yourself out of the love of your father and of your mother. I say not easy, but it is possible. Because sometimes then we go so far that a father or mother, they are disowning, as it were, their own children. A congregation that is not possible with the Lord. And the Lord uses this as an example that we might know who He is from the knowledge that we have of ourselves and of our own relations. The Lord uses this. He uses this for comfort. He says unto His people that have sinned against Him. He says, I have made thee. I have formed thee in the womb. And therefore He says, fear not, even though that you have sinned everything away and that you deserve to be deserted by me. Still He says, fear not. And then He makes them a promise. What is that promise? That is our second thought. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. Were they thirsty, boys and girls? Was there a drought that the Lord is? No. That is a likeness. He's using that as a picture because of their sin. Israel, they have become as a parched earth. As a parched wilderness, because the Lord has withheld His rains in the judgment of His own people. Oh, what a barren wilderness. We are able to turn everything into in this world and also in our own heart by our sin, by our iniquities, so that there is no fruit that is coming from the Lord. Of course, many had no desire for the spiritual blessings, but even though they are not all Israel which are of Israel, still there was a remnant. And that was also with the children of Judah. These are God's true children. And they were afraid. Why were they afraid? The time that Isaiah is preaching. Well, then the children of Israel, the 10 tribes are ready. They're taken into captivity. And then they look around them. What is now left? What is now left of the people of the Lord? And what has now remained? And what has now remained? We also. We have departed so far away in all the carnal and the sinful and idolatrous desires. What is now going to happen with the Lord's people? And now what is more suitable than water for a dry earth, for a dry ground? Farmers, you know it. When that ground that is parched, and then if the Lord will send a little rain, a little gentle rain that it may soak in, what is more suitable? You say those two things, they fit together. And then there is nothing so refreshing as a little gentle rain upon that parched earth. And that is giving hope, that is giving promise unto men. And that the Lord is still going to spare, that the Lord is going to revive, and that the Lord is not going to permit us to perish. But what does the Lord say here? He says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods, he says, upon the dry ground, So the promise of the Lord, that is speaking about an abundance that the Lord is going to give to this people. Remember, that is the people who have sinned against him, and he is promising unto them this abundance of water for that parched ground. And now that water, that is a representation of something. That is a representation of the Spirit of God. What does he say? He says, I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. Let us sing a moment first. 368, 4 and 5. I will abundantly provide for Zion's good, the Lord hath said. I will supply her daily need and satisfy her poor with bread. 4 and 5 of 368. Upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. Here we have blessed prophecy, the congregation of the special outpouring of the Holy Spirit that is upon the church that would come in the future. He speaks about their seed, about their offspring. There was an outpouring that belonged unto the New Testament time, over against the Old Testament time. So the Old Testament time, that was a time, as it were, as like a barren land, wherein there was a little bit here coming up and a little bit there coming up. But there was in comparison a land that was full of drought. And now the day of Pentecost was the very beginning of that New Testament time when the Lord was going to give a special application of the work that he has done in the payment for sin. That is, congregation, the time that you and I are living in. What time in the history of the whole world is like the time that you and I live in? That is the opportunity for the need of our own souls. Woe, woe, woe be to us if we are not gathered in this most blessed time in the whole world that the Lord has made it our lot to live. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Are you thirsty? We thirst for much. Do we thirst for these blessings? Because this word thirsty here is actually synonymous. It is the same as what we have heard, my chosen. By nature, we are not thirsty. No one is. Neither can we make ourselves thirsty. Did you ever try? Did you ever try to make yourself thirsty? Say why. Why did you try? Is that a normal thing that a person tries to make himself thirsty for this natural life, for water in this natural life? You say, no, that is not what we do. Did you ever try to make yourself thirsty after the spiritual blessings and find out that you are not able to make yourself thirsty? But my question is, why did you even try? You see, well, that is what God's people have, do they not? They have thirst. That is right. You say, I do not have that. But why did you try then? Do you miss something? Do you feel something of that lack? It is possible sometimes that even at trying itself is an evidence that is living within us, that we feel something of that which we miss, and that we say, I cannot miss him. There is, of course, so much that is false, but now that true thirst, that is, congregation, there is this promise. The promise of the Lord is connected to that true thirst here in the Word of God. It is attached to it. That is the reason that the Lord Jesus said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And here the Lord says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. That is now the true church. That is now the chosen of God, to whom those promises belong, to whom those promises of God are addressed. On the day of Pentecost, there was such a pouring out of that Spirit that that multitude cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? That is now the fruit of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit Does that cry also live in your own heart? It is the fruit of regeneration. Isaiah, he says, and they shall spring up as among the grass and as willows by the water courses. Thus, under that outpouring of the Spirit of the Lord, he says, there is going to be a great flourishing. What happens when you will take a willow and you will plant it right by the water course? You will plant it right next to the stream, right next to the river. What does David say? He says, he shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of waters. The Lord says that when he pours out his Spirit, he says, then there is going to be a flourishing. Then there is going to be life. That life is going to become evident, and it is going to grow. It is going to increase. There is nothing that can make that church to flourish except for the Spirit of the Lord. And if the Spirit of the Lord is there, there is nothing that can take away the flourishing of that church of God. Isaiah says, one shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. One, he says, and another, he says, they are going to come one by one, not as one mass of people, no, but the Lord is converting each and every one individually of his people, but the Lord, he says, is going to keep going. Now you're going to come one after another, and one is going to come from this place, and one is going to come from that place. It is going to be from the Jewish nation, it is going to be from the heathen, from the Gentiles, from the four corners of the world. And one shall say, and another shall call himself, and another shall subscribe. They shall, he says. He says, that is going to be the fruit of my work. I am going to do it. I am going to make it happen. I will, and they shall. Thus a work that is irresistible. And when I say that that is going to happen, then I do not need to question a man whether it is going to happen, whether his heart that is going out after all the world, whether he wants that to happen or no. No, he says, I will do it. I will send my Spirit, and they shall. Not because I force them, no, not because I direct, but I will draw. I will have a willing people in the day of my power, and that faith that is going to be given by me, but it is going to be exercised by them. And they shall say, one, he will say, I am the Lord's, and he shall call himself by the name of Jacob. Another, he will subscribe with his hand unto the Lord. Another will surname himself by the name of Israel. They will want to be included. Do you want to be included? They will desire, and they will bow before me as king. And they will come with all their heart, with all, they will be baptized. They will take my own name upon their foreheads. And with a willing heart, they are going to run after me. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. There was congregation in the days of Isaiah, a mourning remnant, because Isaiah prophesied of the captivity, because of their own sin. They did not just mourn because of the sin of the world, but they had to mourn because of the sin of the church. And they had to include themselves in the guilt for which that church was going to be taken away captive by that enemy. And now it was their own fault. That is true. But it was the consequences of their sin that this remnant was not able to bear. And what was the consequences? that was to be cast out from the Lord, that is to be brought into another land, that they would be taken away from the house of the Lord, the ordinances of the Lord, and all the worship and the service and the nearness and the blessing and the favor of the Lord. They will be the consequences, Isaiah says. And this remnant, of course there are many, makes no difference. We go live there. No. That is that remnant of the Lord. David says, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. The Lord knows his people. He knows his own. And now the Lord promises that this people he is going to relieve. He says, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. When the Lord comes, then he brings everything along. David says, my cup runneth over. Then it is the experience of that people that there is such an abundance. Do you know what Solomon says? He says, his left hand is under my head, and with his right hand he doth embrace me. Then that bride swooned because that carnal life was not able to endure the abundance of the blessings of the Lord, that will have to be strengthened in the time to come. But now the Lord also speaks to this people about their seed. He speaks to this people about their offspring. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. Thus the Lord is working in the midst of his own people and the children of his people. The Lord is working in the midst of his own church. He is blessing the means. That is why they had to make a promise. That is why they had to make a promise, these parents today, that they were going to use the means. That is what they promised, right? They could not promise, I am going to convert my child. Cannot promise that. They cannot do that. They feel that. But do you know what they promised? That we are going to bring them up in that fear, in that nurture of the Lord. And why do they have to make that promise? Because the Lord says it is through the means. It is through the means that I am working. And when you will do that, and you will promise to do that, then I will also make a promise to my own people that I will send my spirit. And when you will bring your children to the door, and when you will bring them to the porch, and when you will sit with them on your couch, and you will read to them that word of God and what is based, you do not know the day. You do not know the day. Because it can be father and mother on a day that you are so tired and you say, I would like to go to bed, but you know this thing I have promised to do. And then the child is there by you, right? And they're listening. And then the Lord sees it. And the Lord sees it. Then we have done it. And then the Lord, he sends his spirit. He sends his spirit. And one day, and the child says, Father, you don't remember maybe, but I was sitting next to you. And then you were reading. You were reading in the Word of God. And it came into my heart. And I've never forgotten it. That is not a promise. That's the promise of the Lord, fathers and mothers. The Lord says, will you do it now? Will you do it? You cannot work it. But now promise me. Promise me that you will do this. Do you have boys and girls, a father and a mother? Do you have a grandfather, a grandmother that thirsts? That thirsts. You know what they are doing. Do you ever hear them with a living complaint? A living complaint about this carnal life. A living complaint about the dryness. About the deadness. It's a great privilege to hear that with your young ears. Say, is that a great privilege? Yes, that is a great privilege. And when they may warn you, when they may say one word, or does it go now into your heart? Because if your heart, children, young people, if your heart never cries out like those 3,000 under the preaching, under the reading of the Word of God, men and brethren, what shall we do? But never cries that out. And everything your father and mother has ever told you, and what you have heard in catechism and by your teachers, and that baptized forehead, that will all testify against you. And that will be, friends, forever and forever. Do you know what we commemorate today? We are commemorating Pentecost. Pentecost. And what is that? That is the fulfillment. That is the fulfillment of the Word of God. It is the fulfillment of this promise that we have looked at only for a little while, that time that is always going by so quickly. But we have to close. It's going to be done soon with our life also, isn't it? Then it will be the last time. Hopefully you may come here again. And you may hear that word of God again. But you know what you need. You need that cry. That cry to be born in your soul. And now there is no reason for us to doubt that the Lord will do what he promises. With him, the promise and the fulfillment, they are one. This word of God, that we may consider Sabbath after Sabbath, that we may read together within our homes, every jot and tittle is going to be fulfilled out of that word of God. He is going to do as he said, as we have heard, that day of Pentecost that was prophesied about. And it happened. It happened in his time. His people had to wait. But his people, they will never be ashamed. O congregation, then let your barren soul, your thirsty soul, let it draw nigh to him. Unto whom? Let it draw nigh to him who says, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. There is no lack with him. He has such an abundance. The storehouses of Joseph, they are so full. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. Congregation, he is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, could it be just one word in our heart to go with us, that we may take with us as a treasure. Thy servant did say, and thy word have I hid in mine heart. O Lord, give us to hide it there in this afternoon hour, that we would not let it go. and bring thou thy word in our heart with a little power, with a little light, and that thou may give a little encouragement, a little hope in all of our wretchedness and in all of our guilt and in all of our sin. Humble thou us under all thy goodness this day also in bringing these children into the church. Strengthen. Bring us safely home. Help us in the week to come. Spare us all for one another. Teach us from above. For Jesus' sake, amen. 195. Abundant fields of grain shall wave, all white for harvesting, and boundless joy and gladness fill the city of the King. 1 through 4 of 195.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.